say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars
be your name
when abound in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart.
touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. Never stop working, never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You
You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Lord, we don't spend enough time saying thank you for all the blessings you pour out on us. This morning I thank you, Lord, for the homes that we have to live in, for the breakfast that we ate this morning, for the clothes that we're wearing at this moment, the shoes that are covering our feet. God, I thank you for the doctors you have given us and the grocery stores where we can freely go buy food. Lord, for the jobs you have given us, the finances you have provided, on and on the list goes, Lord. Thank you for making a way, for providing, for meeting our needs, Lord God. Lord, you are absolutely amazing. And of course, Lord, today on this 4th of July, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for the freedom you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the strength you have given us over the years. Lord, you've given us encouragement and wisdom. You've protected us. You've guided this nation in so many different ways, and we thank you for this nation today. Lord, I thank you for its leaders, and I pray that you would continue to use them in ways that are pleasing and honoring to you. Give them wisdom. Give them insight. Give them discernment as they make decisions to do what's right in your eyes, Father God. Help us to be the nation that you want us to be, Father God. Be with us as we walk through your word a little bit this morning. Lord, let it speak to our hearts and encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, indeed, I do want to wish a very happy Independence Day or 4th of July to everybody this morning. How many of us still get excited about celebrating the birth of our nation? I heard a few amens. I see half hands out there. Good. Good. You know, that's really what today is about. As far as the 4th is concerned, it's about a brand new nation, the independence of America. A birth of a new beginning for a group of people. Now, today is traditionally filled with all kinds of activities, picnics and games and cookouts and, of course, fireworks. I remember when I was younger, we would make an entire day of it, being out on the field where they shot off the fireworks and having a picnic and throwing the football around and listening to the bands. And it was, you know, it's just an incredible time. As we celebrate new beginnings, as we celebrate a new nation, that's what it's about. You know, we think of the great success of that wonderfully historic day of 1776. But sometimes I think we forget about what was involved in all of that. We forget about the risk people took, specifically a handful of individuals. We forget about the incredible change that was on the horizon and all that was going to take place if that independence was indeed declared and achieved. We forget about the huge, unforeseen adventure that was laying out there in front of them. A little bit scary to some degree. But there was this huge new adventure out there. Put yourself in the place of those that signed that declaration for a minute this morning. You know, when that Declaration of Independence was signed, 56 men put their lives on the line for what they believed in. It wasn't a simple thing. They weren't just signing their names. It wasn't that sounds good. It wasn't some kind of survey. They were putting their lives on the line. And it was a small number, relatively speaking, a small number of people that wanted to march forward with this independence when you think about everybody that was affected by that declaration. Those 56 men that signed that had no idea what the future was about to hold for them and so many others. All they knew is that this was the necessary next step to become the nation that they believed in, the nation that they believed God was leading them to be. Now, at first, not everybody was on board with this plan. At first, not everybody was unified in this. But as they heard more about it, as they listened to what was going on, as they talked to people, as they read letters that were published about the hope of this new nation, that unity grew and grew. And it's through that unity that they saw fresh, new beginnings, far greater than I'm sure they could ever have possibly even imagined. Today, we're not only going to talk about new beginnings, we're going to talk about a couple other things as well. Unity being one of them, and a number. So we're going to concentrate on a number, unity, and new beginnings, and what that means for us today. Now, at least you'd be already thinking down this path. No, the number is not 4. It's not 1776. It's not 245, which is the age of our nation today. Nor is it 56, the number of those signatures. So I've wiped all those numbers off for you. You don't have to worry about those anymore. Today, we're going to look at a number 40. 40. The number 40. Stop trying to guess what it has to do with Independence Day and just listen to what we're going to talk about this morning. Why 40? What does 40 have to do with anything at all? I'm so glad you asked. There are times that numbers are used in Scripture to represent different things. We've talked about this before. We've had this conversation different times in the past. What do numbers mean? What do numbers represent? And as we've said before, you have to understand it takes a careful study to be sure that we are looking at things accurately when we start talking about numbers and the representation of those numbers. So what's in the number 40? First of all, that number appears about 146 times in Scripture. That's a lot of times. That's a lot of stuff that we can look at to understand that number. There's a good amount of detail there. There's a good amount of text to see what the number 40 infers. That is a very important word right there. The word infers. See, there is no scripture that comes out and says, hey, by the way, the number 40 means this. You're not going to find that in Scripture. You won't find that about 7 or 3 or 12 or anything else. No scripture tells you this is what it means. What we find is we study the scriptures that relate to those particular numbers, whatever they are, in this case 40, and by studying those scriptures, we can determine what that number infers. Or we can conclude by studying that the given, when we compare the given text together, what it tends to be talking about. So when we look at the number 40, we see a picture painted like this. It's a period of testing, a time of trial, or even probation. Interesting to think about it that way. Time of testing, a trial, or even probation. So let's look at a few examples of where 40 is used throughout Scripture this morning and see if we can see any of that within these particular elements. Let's talk about one of the most incredible leaders that we have to draw from in Scripture, a man by the name of Moses. I think most of us have heard of him before. If you look at Moses' life, it's broken down into three basic categories. He spent the first 40 years of his life learning under Pharaoh. Now, we know the whole story. His mom was forced to give him up. She put him in a basket. He went down the river. The Pharaoh's daughter found him. But the bottom line is, the first 40 years, he learned, as far as the world was concerned, under the best conditions possible. He learned in Pharaoh's home. But after about 40 years, he fled. He left. And we're not going to get into all that detail this morning. Just know that he did. And then he spent the next 40 years being a shepherd. A little bit of a difference there, don't you think? From being in Pharaoh's home to being a shepherd. And then after that 40 years, guess what? He happened across this bush that was on fire, but not be consuming. And he spent the next 40 years leading the Israelites, being God's chosen instrument to lead his people out of that captivity in Egypt and on to the promised land. Now, I don't know about you, but I can see in their ideas of being tested. I certainly know of ideas of trials that we see throughout all of that Scripture and text, if we were to take the time to read it. And even I can see an element of probation here, in a matter of speaking. They were being prepared. They were being looked at. They were getting ready for what was next. We need to understand that this inference of 40 is not all bad. You know, we read the words testing or trial or probation and we instantly look at the negative of all of that. But we can't always look at it as a bad thing. Moses was getting 40 years of training, 40 years of growing and learning and getting fed all those important things that he needed to know for the next phase, for the next 40, and so on and so on. So we can't always think about it as negative or down. We've got to understand there's a positive element to that time of testing and growing, just like James tells us. It helps us to persevere and become mature. When traveling to the promised land, Moses sends out some spies to investigate that land, to see what it's like, to get a feel for it. Do we know how long those spies were gone seeking out that land? 40 days. They were out investigating. They were out seeing what they could find. Again, a time of testing, a time of trial, a time of learning, a time for preparation, a time for preparedness. Now, when they came back, unfortunately, there was only two that said, hey, this is a good thing. The rest of them weren't quite sure about what they thought. Those two were willing to jump on board, trust the Lord, and move forward and go out and conquer that land. But we know, unfortunately, it brought about a time of testing for them. We know it brought about a delay for them. In fact, if we look at it, we see that there was a time the Israelites traveled the wilderness for 40 years. 40 days of spying the land to 40 years of waiting to actually conquer the land. 40 years of preparation, 40 years of testing, 40 years of trial, 40 years of probation. 40 years of waiting to take that next step. How about our friend Jonah? How many of us remember Jonah? If you remember him, he was the guy that was swallowed by the big fish. Not very pleasant, I don't think. I wouldn't want to be Jonah in that case. When Jonah finally did agree to do what God asked him to do, when he finally said, "I'll obey and I'll go to Nineveh," he went and he warned them and he talked to them and he told them about God's destruction and he gave them the message that God told him to give them. Listen to the message. Jonah 3, 4 and 5. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. 40 days of preparation. 40 days. And we see God do some amazing things. The whole land of Nineveh repented and turned from their wickedness. 40 years in the wilderness, and God gave the Israelites that promised land. 40 years of preparation and getting ready for what's next. Let's look at the New Testament for a minute. Let's look at a couple examples from the New Testament regarding 40. Maybe the most obvious, maybe the most well-known to us has to do with Jesus' time in the wilderness. 40 days of fasting. 40 days of being tempted by the devil. You all know the story. He went down to the Jordan to be baptized. He was baptized by John, and from there, he spent 40 days being tempted by the devil. 40 days of preparation in a way, because it's there that he went into his public ministry after those 40 days. His resurrection is another example. From resurrection to ascension was 40 days. He spent 40 days traveling around, appearing to people. Now, it may not have been testing for him, but it certainly was testing for his believers, for his followers. Will they listen? Will they obey? Will they pay attention? There are a lot more examples throughout Scripture we could go through regarding the number 40. And we're actually going to circle back to one more idea about 40 a little bit later this morning. I'm not going to get there right now, but a little bit later we'll circle back to it. The second thing I said we want to talk about this morning is unity. Unity. That is an incredibly important word if we don't realize it. Now, unity is not just working together, but true unity means being one. Combining or joining separate parts into one complete unit in order to make a whole. That's what unity is about. And unity, Scripture very clearly calls for unity amongst the body of Christ. As brothers and sisters, we are to be one. We are to function as one. In fact, we are to be so well united that each part of the church body supports the next part of the body without even thinking about it or without any kind of hesitation at all. We're that well unified. Just like the human body is all kinds of pieces and parts, but we are unified to make one body. I want you to think about this for just a second. When you walk, you don't just use your foot. You walked into this room this morning. You walked across your floor this morning. And when you walked, you used your foot, your toe, your leg, your hip, your brain. You used all kinds of parts of your body. And you did all of that to move in a direction without those individual parts being notified or thought about. You didn't stand at the entrance going, okay, foot, you need to move, leg, you need to pick up, knee, you need to bend, muscles, you need to constrict. We didn't do all of that. We walked. We did it without hesitation or thought, and we did it in harmony as we moved across the floor. Paul gives us an unbelievably clear example of working together in a unified body. 1 Corinthians 12. 12 through 14. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized into one Spirit, into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. Again, Paul, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. Unity among the family of believers is emphasized as an incredibly important part of Scripture. Working together, serving together, standing with one another, all with Christ as our common bond. You know, truthfully, there is enough quarreling and disagreement in the world today. The church doesn't need to be a part of that. The church doesn't need to perpetuate that. We need to understand what it means to work in unity and to live in peace. And dare I say, that crosses all boundaries of life. Peace and unity speaks loudly to people. Peace and unity draws people in. If they see us quarreling and bickering, they're going to run from us. But if they see us joining together, functioning and working as one, it's going to attract people and draw them in. The third piece of the puzzle that I talked about this morning is this idea of new beginnings. Talked about it tiny bit already, but did you happen to notice that each of those number 40 issues that we talked about culminated in a new something, a new happening, a new beginning, a new path or course in life? When Moses was done with his 40 years under Pharaoh, he started anew as a shepherd. When he was done being shepherd, God called him to a new task of leading the Israelites. After the Israelites spent 40 years preparing for the Promised Land, they entered that Promised Land and began a whole new journey. One of a lot of stuff happening. Some of what we would call trials and tribulations, some of what we would definitely call blessings. A whole new adventure was before them. They were able to take that land that God had promised them. They were able to build buildings and have permanent structures and be freer than they'd ever felt freedom before. They were no longer subject to people. They spent 40 years preparing and relying on God for this brand new beginning, this new adventure that stood before them. The Ninevites were given a new beginning. The fact that they repented, the fact that they dressed in sackcloth and said to God, we're sorry. 40 days later, God gave them a new beginning. Instead of wiping them out, instead of having to move them off to the side, he said, great, I'm glad you decided to repent. Now let's start over. Let's start this new journey together. Even the 40 days that we talked about in reference to Jesus, when he was done fasting, when he was done defeating the devil through those time of temptation in the wilderness, When that 40 days was complete, his public ministry started. It's when he went out and spread the word of God concerning who he was and what he was about. And it brought about a world of change for all of mankind. You know, think about that for a minute, if you would, with me this morning. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, if you're a pagan or you're a believer, it doesn't matter. That time that Jesus spent on the earth, that public ministry that he served in after those 40 days changed the course of the world completely. Completely. After Jesus' death and resurrection, 40 days appearing to the disciples, 40 days appearing to 500 people. So there was no question about the fact that he had risen. His body was not stolen and hidden somewhere, as some might think. 40 days of walking the earth yet again to tell people about what had just happened. And that 40 days, quite honestly, is what ushered in Christianity. That 40 days, if you think about it, really is what the beginnings of the church that we know today. His death, his resurrection, and his 40 days of telling people what had just happened. So we've talked about 40. We've talked about unity among the church body. And we've talked about new beginnings. All of which are repeated over and over and over again in Scripture. I've only shared a handful of them with you this morning. I said earlier I wanted to circle back to that number 40. And I wanted to look at one more example this morning of the number 40. I never said it was a scriptural example of number 40. I just said I wanted to look at one more example of the number 40. Are you ready for this example? Sanctuary. Sanctuary. That's right. Us. Here. This ministry that is called Sanctuary. Do you realize we are in our 40th year of ministry? One unbelievably cold morning in January of 1982, this ministry was birthed. Jesus brought life to what we know today as Sanctuary. And for 40 years now, he has been molding and shaping and forming this ministry. We've gone from meeting in homes and rented facilities to buying our first church building and then adding on and buying other buildings to this facility. To the point that God allowed us to build this incredible center for ministry on almost 9 acres of land. God has done some amazing things in expanding the ministry that we know as Sanctuary. So if you think about it, in all of this time, have we been preparing and getting ready and going through times of testing and trials and probation? Are we being prepared by God for what's next? For what He has in store for us, for the promised land perhaps? For that next adventure, for that next big step. Now, there's no doubt in the last 40 years, we have seen God do incredible things in this ministry. He has done amazing miracles. We know people that have been diagnosed with cancer, and He has healed them. We know people that were on the brink of death and are still alive today because God has intervened. We've seen God do things like using our facility and using the people that call this home. We've seen concerts and VBS programs and sporting events and Christmas showcases and clothing closets. And we have seen God do incredible things through dirty laundry. We've seen God provide so that we could not only build this facility, but maintain this facility, update this facility, the gathering place. I mean, what more can I say? Look at what God did over there. That place is incredible. It turned out as a beautiful ministry center. And while all those things are awesome, and all those things are absolutely amazing, we believe that God wants to do more. He is not nearly done with us yet. This is, if anything, our first 40 years like Moses. So much more. But in order to do so much more, we have to function together in unity. We have to work together in all the little pieces and parts and intricate members that we were designed to be. Read through all of that 1 Corinthians scripture at some point. Every single one of us sitting here, listening at home, wherever we're at, we are designed as a piece, a part, a component of a whole. And God wants us to function as that piece, that part that He has designed us to be. The whole can't work together if a part is missing. Think about your car. If I took one piston out, how well would it run? Think about a baseball team. If I took the pitcher off the mound, how well would that team do? We have to function as the part that we were designed to be, so that the whole can work together. It's time for sanctuary to start a new journey. It's time for sanctuary to start walking. And as I told you before, it's going to take much more than just a foot starting the movement. We are all going to have to do our part and function together. So that means that every foot, every toe, every leg, every knee, every hip, tendon, muscle, and joint that is involved in walking, you are hereby called to start moving. And to start functioning as you were designed to function, so that we can move forward, so that we can see the new beginning that is on the horizon for Sanctuary's ministry. No more sitting, no more waiting, no more excuses about anything. God has some new land for us to conquer. God has some new roles for us to walk in. God has some new things that each of us individually are called to be a part of it. This new journey is going to require time. It's going to require energy and effort. It's going to require finances. But most of all, it's going to require unity. Functioning and working together. I hope you can begin to get a feel and a sense for the joy and the passion and the excitement of this new beginning that we're talking about here this morning. God has told us to love our enemies. He's told us to pray for those who have persecuted us. He's told us to go into all the world and preach the good news. And He's told us to do all that while being one body, functioning together as one cohesive, unified group. 40 years. Unity and new beginnings on the horizon. I can't think of a better day to talk about all of this new beginnings of ministry than today, the day we celebrate new beginnings. New beginnings of a nation, new beginnings that launched far greater things than those 56 or anybody else could ever have possibly imagined. You're going to leave here today and you're going to go celebrate Independence Day. You're going to celebrate the 4th of July. You're going to have picnics and play games and eat burgers and brats and listen to music and watch fireworks and do all that, and that's great and wonderful. But when all of that is happening, let every bit of it, let every detail of it remind you of the new beginnings that God is setting out before us. Think about sanctuary. Pray about sanctuary. Pray about the part that God has designed you to be in this unified group of believers. And may I just throw out there, you know, these parts include networking. Who I know, who does this, who's part of that, who can I reach out to? It's not just us individually doing things, it's us working together to bring about things. Begin to let God speak to you in that. Just like early in our nation's history, or really before the birth of our nation and that declaration, they had to rally everybody out and get them excited about this Declaration of Independence, this new beginning. It's time for us to look across the land. It's time for us to realize who's out there that we need to reach and touch and minister to and encourage over the next days, weeks, months, and even years. It's time for us to rally the troops, to get them signed up for new beginnings and the new things that God wants to do. And I am convinced, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that God has very big plans for sanctuary. Big things that He wants to do. Probably far beyond anything any one of us sitting in this room are thinking about at this moment. Big things that He wants to do. So are you ready to hear about some of those new things on the horizon? Good. That means you'll be ready to tune in next week when we talk about Sanctuary 2.0 and our new beginnings here. I will give you one little tiny teaser, just one little thing I'll share with you. And I say that very specifically because this is one simple thing that we are going to be doing immediately and starting on, in fact, this week. I'll give you more about that in just a second. But the things that God has on the horizon, the things we've already talked about, the things we are working on behind the scenes, so to speak, go from little tiny things like this to some very big things. But I believe God is a big God. I believe God is the way maker. And I believe He'll bring those things to pass. One simple thing we're doing. We are partnering up with the American Red Cross. We are becoming a reoccurring blood drive location. The first blood drive is going to be held later this week, Thursday, July 8th, from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock. You will find on your way out today a copy of the flyer with all of the information on it. They have approximately 40 openings. Being their first time here and the first venture, that's what they've set up for this time. As of this morning, 3/4 of those time slots are full. And you didn't even know about it yet. One tiny little step in what we're doing going forward. Some of this is simple, easy decisions like this, and other things are going to take a lot of planning, a lot of work, a lot of outside help. It's going to be major additions to our ministry. But I believe, wholeheartedly I believe, God has some incredible new plans in store for Sanctuary. And I don't think you want to miss out on what He's going to do here. So strap on your boots. Get ready for a new adventure. Get ready for what God is going to do as He leads us into new land. Lord, this morning we commit our hearts and ourselves to You. Lord, I do believe wholeheartedly that You are nowhere near done with Sanctuary. You have so much more for this group of believers, for this body to be a part of. You have so much more that You want to do. Lord, You're looking for those that will step up and put their lives on the line, like those 56 dead signing the Declaration. You're looking for us to raise our hands and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Help me to be part of the new beginnings You have, the new work You want to do, the new people You want to reach, the new ministries You want to expand into, starting right here at Sanctuary. God, help us to have a heart for service. Help us to have a heart that is willing to move forward and reach the lost and encourage those that need to be encouraged. God, help us to be the light and the salt that You have called us to be. Lord, I've been praying for years now, and I pray again this morning that You would rise up an army from amongst this place, an army that marches forward in Your word, in Your anointing, in the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to meet the needs of people, to encourage those that need to be encouraged, to be a safe haven, to be servants that You have called us to be. God, I pray for a new birth, new beginnings, new revelation, new everything here at Sanctuary. Lord, this morning, after nearly 40 years of ministry, we rededicate Sanctuary to You. This land, the buildings, the people, everything about this ministry that You birthed, we rededicate it to You. And we pray, God, that You would give us wisdom moving forward. Give us a fresh new anointing moving forward. Give us strength to move forward. Give us victory as we march out and take on new land, new opportunities, new things, new beginnings, all in Jesus' name. Lord, help us this morning. Help us to be mindful of how You want to use us individually. Help us to be mindful of our piece, our part in this whole great big new adventure. Lord, speak to us clearly. Write it on the wall if necessary. Help us to know what You want us to do individually and corporately. Lord, we commit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. You are, You are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. 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 Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.